This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That wasn't getting it done. They put in Cam Talbot and he stopped 20 of 21 shots. Took the L for the team, but he played really well. And since that game, he has been really, really good. I think it exposes just how bad the defense has been in front of him because he's had to make so many spectacular saves, and particularly in that last game. He made, 32 saves in that game. He was incredible, which I think is a good thing. When it exposes how, not that they don't know this already, but when you have something like that exposed, it makes it so obvious and clear what you have to do in the offseason. Improve the defense. Now, the forwards have to be better, more responsible with that. Okay, fair enough, and I think they have ways to do that. We keep hearing about how Nate Danielson, their draft pick from a couple years ago, how responsible he is defensively. Okay, so if I'm thinking he can add to this team next year and be part of that, great. But they need more. They need better defensemen, period. You know, their last pair can always be better. And I think they're top four guys, three of the top four anyway, that they look pretty solid. But it's the other guys going to have to step up. And do they have those guys? We'll see. Right now, I don't think those guys are here, but they can play better than what they've played. But you got to be better in front of the net for Talbot, because Talbot can shine. He has taken teams and put them on his back into playoff runs before.
Well, this would be awfully fortuitous timing.
You're really good time.
Keep playing this way. He's been out of his freaking mind.
Would have been a better time to start this a month ago, but it is what it is.
Yep.
Which is
interesting feedback we've gotten here. And I guess this is a tenor into how people are thinking about this hockey team. What are we doing? The Red Wings are cooked. Give it up. That's from Jerry.
I don't want to.
And I'm Nate Texter. I have completely checked out of the Red Wings for 2 months now. I actually hope they don't make the playoffs because it'll be a huge waste of everyone's time. So, look, I think what are the benefits of not making the playoffs? Well, you're getting the draft lottery. What are your odds of doing anything, getting a useful pick out of the draft lottery? I haven't looked it up because I've been focused on that. I've kind of... off-season topic. If, as it stands right now, they have a 2% chance of moving up. They have a 2% chance of moving up. That's really not worth it either. Is it easier to build as a playoff team than a non-playoff team? And what I mean by that is convince players that they want to be here, whether they're your own or others. Is it easier to do it when you're a playoff team, even if you're a just snuck in playoff team?
I think, you know, like any sport.
I'd argue it is.
Yeah, but I think like any sport, money's going to talk. It's going to be the first thing they're looking at is what kind of contract can I get? And I think that there are different routes you can go in the offseason. You can try to trade for players. You can try to acquire a free agent. But I think, you know, a caller brought this up last week, and I really thought it was smart. And that was talking about maybe 2 weeks ago, the week that you're out. Talking about what St. Louis did when they signed two players from Edmonton that were restricted free agents. And those players have paid incredibly well, played off incredibly well for St. Louis this year. But it was a situation where Edmonton can't hang on to everybody on the roster. They were going to have to let some guys go, and they couldn't match the offer. They signed these guys to an offer sheet. I believe there's compensation going the other way, but they signed to the offer sheet. and it improved their team dramatically. It did for St. Louis. This might be a trend. Maybe this is a way that the Red Wings can get better. Is okay if I can't get this unrestricted free agent is going to cost us way too much money. But what about this restricted free agent over here? And if we look at that team's situation with the cap, they can't afford if we offer them this much money. So why don't we identify who those players are? And with the restricted free agent contract, maybe it's not going to be a big 8-year deal, but maybe it's a 2 or 3 year deal, but at a term that you can, it's lucrative enough that you can lure them away from somebody else and that they would sign the offer sheet. But you can get really good players.
248-539-9797. More feedback into the Carson Anderson inbox with a must-win game tonight. An unnamed texter. The glaring issue for the Wings correlates with the extra attacker at the end of the game. They are dead last, sub 70% penalty kill. Just got awful. I thought they had crested 70%, but hold on. It doesn't. It's they have not. My apologies. My God. 69.5% is their penalty kill.
That's terrible. That's beyond terrible.
That's so bad.
And their power play is so good.
Yeah.
It's really strange to have like that much of a disparity between your penalty kill and your power play.
The power play percentage is fourth in the NHL, 27.9. The penalty kill is dead last at 69.5.
You know, I think the power play was closer to 30% not that long ago. I mean, it's flip-flopped, right?
Yep.
Incredible.
Well, as some of you have given us the feedback, you clearly aren't interested in watching tonight. I think many people will be hanging on to this last stand of the Detroit Red Wings. You know, the funny thing is we've seen this before with this team, and it hasn't been enough in the past, so why is there any belief it'll be enough this year? There probably really isn't. But if they win this game, you know, people will be like, you know, this Red Wing team, we're not going to give up on them. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. All right, Gator, you brought up something. You said it didn't go smoothly. I don't know. I don't know, have any idea what this is, but I want to get the details from you. That at 11:31. We got some fresh mail a little bit later on, some Tiger previews. We'll get into this afternoon's game against the New York Yankees. Tigers win game 1-6-2 to improve to 6-4 on the year. After the Dodgers series, 6-1, you got to love it. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Just a quick shout out to parents of high school baseball players who yesterday, my wife and I, my parents, went to watch our kid play in brutal conditions.
Oh, was it cold?
I mean, cold and windy.
Was it snowing?
And snowing.
Was it raining?
And there's not a lot of shelter at a lot of high school baseball stadiums.
Well, don't you have the, I thought you got that little igloo thing.
No, I don't. But it's funny. I saw
you, you didn't watch from the car?
No, I didn't watch from the car. I saw no igloos.
Oh, Bobby.
No igloos at the baseball game. However, the softball game that was taking place on the field behind, there were igloos. People that set up the little clear plastic huts. Kang, you haven't pulled the trigger on one of these yet, right?
No, I'm just going to sit in the car.
But you've seen this, right?
Smart.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, I'm wondering if people are putting like some sort of gas-powered space heater in those things. But yesterday I had...
wine dispensary.
Well, how about this? So our 17-year-old at 10 o'clock on Sunday night comes to us and says, hey, do you have any long sleeve black, you know, Under Armour type thing? And we're like, all right, I produced what I had. None of it was satisfactory. My wife produced what she had. He didn't like any of that. So we're like, look, man,
he was going to wear your wife's clothes?
Well, my wife has like something she wears skiing that would probably fit him. Yeah. But it's like one of those real stretchy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Spandex type.
Yeah. That kind of deal.
Material, whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, they've got black jerseys and he wanted black underneath. He has white, but he wanted black underneath. So
did you use this as an opportunity to tell the boy to hit the weight room?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. But I did. Hey, this is what we got, man.
Right.
This is what we got. He sends a text in the middle of the day. Mom, I need something. It's going to be cold. So all that we offered up, I then put into a backpack and said, you know, any port in a storm, right? Is he going to realize that it doesn't matter that the Under Armour thing I have is a gray and not a black and it doesn't match the jersey, whatever. So I walk up to the field, throw the backpack filled with four different options over the fence to him, and he takes the field in short sleeves.
Oh, that's such a high school kid. That is 100% high school. It's all vanity. It's all about how do I look.
Gator?
I'd rather freeze my ass off than go out there with my dad's hand-me-downs.
He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teammates on the field.
Yeah.
He was the only one in short sleeves.
Yeah.
The team they were playing, not one kid had short sleeves. Mm. Our son out there, the moron.
Got to stand out for the scouts.
No, he just doesn't. I think it's made worse. It's mom and dad's stuff.
Hey, Bill, who's that jackass out there that doesn't have sleeves?
So I remember I remember years ago going to see, I looked at it just the opposite. I think scouts look at, not that there's any scouts at the games. I went to a game years ago. It was a Big Ten baseball tournament game at Ray Fisher Stadium when I was allowed to skip school to go to games. That's how I grew up. So mom used to take me down there and drop me off. Michigan was playing Iowa in conditions like yesterday. And the Wolverines had one guy who wore no long sleeves, Chuck Froning. I always remember number 8, Chuck Froning, who ended up having the game-winning hit later in the game.
Oh, there you go.
Dare I say it was because he didn't have sleeves on. Anyway.
It's a football mentality your kids got.
That's right.
No, it wasn't a football mentality. It was a move and decision based completely on how it looks.
Yeah, completely on, I'm not wearing mom and dad's stuff, but.
What he wanted you to do was, can you run up to
the store? Can you run to Dick's Sporting Goods and get me my own blah, 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 but. Nope. So then we sat there and froze.
How'd he do?
He did all right. It was good and bad. Hitless in the first game, had a hit in the second game, called because of darkness, made a couple plays in the field. But
was he hindered, do you think, because of how cold it was?
I don't know. He'd never admit that. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, right? So I handed him the backpack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last night I'm like, I haven't seen the backpack. I sent him a text this morning. Hey, the backpack filled with the four long sleeve shirts. Did you bring that home? And the response I got was,
So he left it?
Yep.
Oh, come on, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, teenagers, and you think it's your own kid and it's only your own kid and the parents tell you.
And look, I can say this, but I remember I was the kid that would leave his gloves everywhere. Not baseball glove, but like
when you go out,
like winter gloves, I would leave them everywhere. It drove my mom nuts. So I'm part of the problem.
Hey, look, just keep in mind, it's a shout out to parents who brave the weather.
We don't normally do shout outs. But when it affects Doug, we're apparently going to do shout outs.
That's right.
Right, Kang?
You got that right.
Noticed that?
Yeah.
I'm giving a shout out to those parents out
Look
there.
Look how brave I am.
And you are one of them, Kang.
In the car. I'm not brave at all.
all right. What was it the Freep did yesterday that was a disaster? I don't even know what this is.
It's not necessarily a disaster, but the Free Press did something that was interesting, all right? Because all the rage these days is AI, right? So they decided to ask AI, one of the different AI groups out there, to do a mock draft and at least select the Lions pick at 28.
Yep.
So the first thing they said to, what are the Lions going to do with their first round draft pick? And AI, the first response was that it said, at 18, Detroit Lions select Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle, Northwestern. The Lions will bolster their offensive line with this strong tackle.
Wait, what?
Exactly.
At 18?
Right. So the article goes on to say, we checked the NFL rule book, and it turns out this is, in fact, against the rules. We're going to have to tweak our experiment a little bit. So we pointed out that Skoronski had already been picked in 2023.
2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was last year. 2 years ago.
Yeah, and not eligible for the 2025 draft. We also pointed out that the Lions do not have the 18th pick in the upcoming draft, unless they trade up for the pick, but it's the 28th pick. So the AI came back and said, I apologize for the confusion. It looks like I made an error in my simulation. Let's correct that. Lions pick at 28th position. So it selects. At 28, the Lions select Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. So it goes on to say, well, that's a little better. At least our analysts got the position correct. However, Odunze already plays for the Bears, which, as we pointed out, is against the rules.
I have an idea. Draft Micah Parsons.
Right.
If you can do this, draft Micah Parsons.
So it says, let's take a different approach. Here's the question it asked AI. Give us a list of players eligible for the 2025 draft. Of these players, who are the Lions most likely to select with their first round pick?
This is hysterical.
And so AI came back and said, based on the Detroit Lions' needs and their 28th overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, they are likely to select JT Tuimoloau, defensive end, Ohio State. Tuimoloau is a highly regarded edge rusher who could significantly bolster the Lions' pass rush, especially after releasing veteran defensive end Za'Darius Smith. So it said, nice. Not only did our AI analyst get the draft order correct, it also selected someone who is draft eligible.
Step in the right direction.
It is. So
well, there's a couple things about
this. Failed experiment with AI.
AI, you know, it's apparently some tweaking is still necessary, it appears, with the artificial intelligence.
Well, I think you just have to be incredibly specific.
The thing about if the pick is JT Tuimoloau, right now I think most people are saying that's a reach at 28.
Right.
But here's the one thing I'll say about the draft. You tell me, am I wrong? If I were given the actual first round, like if somebody were to hand right now, some Doug from the future came back and said, all right, here's my first round mock.
Put $5 on this.
So it would be the actual first round. And I read it off. I think I would get mocked. I think when you see the first round,
when it's all said and done,
if it were a mock draft before the draft, people wouldn't believe it. That's what I think.
Huh.
Because there are always wild surprises.
There are always surprises. I will grant you that.
Yep.
But when it comes to the Lions, it feels like you can really cast a wide net. And there are so many players that if that's who the pick is at 28, okay.
Let me just say this. I'm not even talking specific about the Lions. I'm talking about the whole first round. If I have the whole first round, every team's pick.
Yeah, because there's going to be guys who are like, wow, that was in the first round, that guy? And this guy is now available on the second day?
The actual first round would look like a crappy mock draft because people wouldn't buy it.
Perhaps.
Yep.
Which is why when I look at mock drafts and you see like, oh, come on, there's no way. You have to remind yourself, yeah, there's a way.
There's a way.
Yeah.
I got some feedback coming in and we will get to that. It's Tigers related stuff. We'll get to that coming up in the noon hour. People are calling out me, but whatever. And we got some fresh Mel Kiper. Speaking of mock drafts, we will get to that at 11:54 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They care more, you win more. And because they specialize, Michigan Auto Law has recovered more $1 million auto accidents than any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. If you do your research, you'll see it's the truth about Michigan Auto Law over any other law firm in the state. Specialization really matters. It's auto and truck accidents, and that's it. That's why myself or a member of my family get into an auto accident, we need a lawyer. Call my guy Steve at Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. Let's just look back at last year's top 10 in the draft. The no way that's going to happen pick of last year's draft.
Yeah.
Michael Penix to Atlanta at 8. That would have been the one that if we presented last year's actual draft as a mock draft right before the draft, I think that would have been the biggest no way in hell that happens. People would not have believed that that was the actual pick. But there's all kinds of examples.
It's interesting. Like that one is that's a great example.
Yep.
Because it's the team that took it. Like, what did they just do? They just signed Kirk Cousins.
If you present like mock draft the last year, you go, and at 8, I think Atlanta's going to take Michael Penix Jr. People get, what?
What are you talking about?
They just signed Cousins.
You can't do that.
Yeah. But that's an example of how.
True.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays itself out. It's Carson Anderson, open lines, 248-539-9797. Hey, did want to mention the Pistons last night. I mean, look, at this point, I want them to be healthy for the postseason. I think they're perfectly comfortable playing the Knicks or the Pacers. I'm not sure that they really particularly care. I hate Zach LaVine. I just can't stand Zach LaVine.
You have, I mean, from moment one that he came on the scene, you have not been a fan.
I don't think he is particular. It's going to sound so weird.
Here we go.
You're not that talented. You're just bigger and faster than everybody.
And can jump higher.
And
knock down shots better.
Way more skilled people than you. And you score a lot because you've been handed a gift from God.
Here's 40 in your face.
Yep. Every single game. He's not that talented. That's the wrong way to put it.
Yeah, I think there are players
that play him are more skilled. He actually is more physically gifted. He's just more physically gifted.
So he's just better.
Yeah, dude. I know it makes no sense. I used to
saying, why are you so good? You're so good.
Yes. I think when it comes to
why are
like
you making the most out of what God gave you?
The handle and the shot. I think there are way better dribblers and shooters. And
why are you taking advantage of your skill set?
And then he's got this elite athletic skill set, and he's just better than.
Yeah. Okay.
This makes no sense, does it?
I mean, no.
Okay.
I mean, this was a guy that when his name was brought up, hey, should the Pistons go get this guy? You were like, hell no. Not with a 100-foot pole. No, don't touch this guy. Well, he just scores.
I know.
He's a scorer. Here's what I did not like about the Pistons game last night, and it bothered me throughout because this wasn't just something that happened at the end when you get down by a lot of points and you feel like you need to take three-point shot attempts. They jacked up 39 threes last night. This is the first game they had because yesterday is when J.B. Bickerstaff came on the morning show and talked about how the Pistons are built differently.
Yeah.
They don't do things typically that the other NBA teams do. They don't rely on the three-point shot. They play defense. You know, they get up and down the court. They like the fast break, and it's not all about just launching threes. And then they go out and take 39 three-point shots.
Right.
Come on. That's not bad. That's not Pistons basketball. Don't do that. And there was a sequence where I think they took at least four, there may have been 5 three-point shot attempts. They kept getting the rebound. And this guy's, Fontecchio, wide open. Kang's going to be surprised he didn't make it.
What?
I know. Here's Tim Hardaway Jr., wide open, not going to knock it down. Didn't happen. And I think eventually it was either Beasley or Hardaway that on the fourth or fifth attempt on that same possession finally knocked it down. And you're like, jeez. I mean, they were committed. They were only going to take a three-point shot on this particular possession. That's not Pistons basketball.
They had a bad day at work, Scott.
It was. And I like these bad days occasionally because
reset.
And you as a parent, Doug, should appreciate this. Teaching moments. Right? Yep. Coaching moments. Okay, guys, we lost the game. Now, anybody want to raise their hand and tell us how we lost the game, or did we get outside of ourselves in any way? Anybody?
It's pretty easy to.
We took too many 3-point shots. Yeah, I was hunting.
I'm sorry, Dad.
All right, yeah, I'll be better.
Let's go to Martin. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Martin.
Boys, what's up,
Martin?
How you been? Sorry, I haven't been around. I moved. I moved to Philly. I wanted to see what a Super Bowl team looked like. I'm joking. Listen, the Pistons are going to be fine. I know it was. The Pistons are going to be fine. They play a hard way. They play a different way. Whatever they're doing has been working. We're going to be good. They're going to lock up the fourth seed. We're going to see a first round matchup. We're going to win. We're going to lose in the second round, but they're going to be okay. They're doing better than. than anybody thought. They're doing better than the Red Wings, and they're doing it a lot better than what Eisenman's doing.
Let's not bury the lead here. You've got them winning in the first round.
Hell to the yes. Hell to the yes. These boys are bringing something that I haven't seen since the Bad Boys. They play hard. They play aggressive. They don't take crap from nobody. Let these boys do them. They're going to be fine. I'm telling you.
Here's my only fear.
Watching these guys.
Here's my only fear.
Go ahead,
Doug. Only fear
Zach
is that
Levine?
What you just said. No, he's in the other conference. Is what you just said is that the Pistons play so much harder than everybody. In the postseason is when many of these teams that don't play as hard as the Pistons, that's when they start to play hard.
Well, guess what? Pistons will have an advantage because they played like this, like being a dog. And they're going to be fine, man. These are going to be the Bad Boys 2.0. They're playing. I love the way they play. I love watching them. I wasn't watching them in the beginning of the season, and I started watching them because they're bringing something I haven't seen in a long time. And, you know, it's just fun watching these guys. It's fun.
No question it's
fun
to
watch. I like the Lions, but it's fun. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to watch them play, and I do think they have a shot. Don't get me wrong. I do have concerns about when everybody else decides, okay, it's go time, because this Piston team plays with a intensity that is, I think, atypical of NBA regular season performances across the board. But we'll see. We'll see. Ready for a mock draft, Scott?
I'm always ready for a mock draft, Doug.
Let's go. This is one from someone called Mel Kiper Jr.
Oh, boy.
Of ESPN. Now, the way this works, this is a two-rounder. We'll work our way through it. We'll tell you who some of the picks are as we get our way down to 28. We'll tell you who's on the board when the Lions are drafting at 28. And we will do the same thing for the pick at 60. What we want you to do is in real time, make the pick at 28, who you would take, then come back when we get to 60, make the pick there. This is an exercise. And what if a scenario like this plays itself out? Who are the two players you walk away with? Gator will select two. I'll select two. Kang, we'd like you to select two. And then we will tell you in the noon hour who the two picks are. And it's no right or wrong. It's just what would you do? With the first pick, the Tennessee Titans take Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami. At two, Travis Hunter, athlete from Colorado, goes to Cleveland. At three, Abdul Carter, edge rusher, goes to the Giants out of Penn State. Other picks of interest. These are local guys or players that people might be hoping drop to Detroit. Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan, goes to Jacksonville at five. Gator, one of your favorites, Ashton Gentry from Boise State, running back, goes to Vegas at six.
Top 10 for a running back.
Jalen Walker, linebacker, Georgia, goes to Carolina at eight. Shedeur Sanders goes nine to New Orleans. Other picks of interest, Will Johnson, cornerback, Michigan, goes 11 to San Francisco. At 13, Miami takes Jahade Brown, the cornerback from Texas. At 14, the Colts go Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan. At 15, Atlanta goes Mike Green, edge rusher, Marshall.
Damn it.
Other picks that people might be interested in. Tampa at 19 selects Nick Emmanuori, the safety from South Carolina. At 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon. At 22, the Chargers take Gray Zabel, interior offensive lineman, North Dakota State. At 23, the Green Bay Packers select Michael Williams, edge rusher, Georgia. And at 27, the Baltimore Ravens take safety Malachi Starks. Gator, here's who's on the board for the Lions at 28. Okay. Edge rusher James Pierce from Tennessee.
All right.
Edge rusher Donovan Azaraku from Boston College. Interior offensive lineman Tyler Booker from Bama. Defensive tackle Kenneth Grant from Michigan. Wide receiver Luther Burden from Missouri. Not what do you think Brad Holmes would do. What would you do? One of those five names is the pick. Let me know when you've secured your pick, but don't tell me who it is.
I have secured my pick.
Kang, have you secured your pick?
I have.
Okay. And I have secured mine. All right, Scott, given this scenario, who do you take at 28?
A player that I've really warmed up to over the last few weeks, and it's edge rusher Donovan Azaraku, from Boston College. He's a little undersized at 6'2", 250 pounds. Maybe he's not your three down guy to be there to stop the run. I don't care. I want a pass rusher, and that's what this guy does. He clearly gets after the quarterback. He's got great burst and great speed right off the bat. I don't care what his 40 time is. I care how quick he is. And he was the quickest defensive end edge rusher in the draft. Gets after the quarterback, 17 sacks last year, 16 and a half sacks last year at Boston College. That's my guy.
He's amped up. Kang, your pick at 28?
So I'm torn between two guys. It's James Pierce and it's Kenneth Grant. I think James Pierce is a classic boomer bust draft pick. He's got the perfect size for the edge rusher. He's got to get a little bit stronger, but, you know, the moves he has, the skill set he has is just get to the quarterback. Kenneth Grant, I think his floor is higher than Pierce. Like, if you miss, quote-unquote, on Grant, it's going to be better than missing on Pierce. Pierce might be out of the league in 3-4 years. I don't know. With that being said, I'm going to go Kenneth Grant. I just feel that's a safer pick, and he still has a high ceiling. The question is, can he do well without Mason Graham on the next to him? Well, guess what? Aleem McNeil, pretty good. DJ Reader, pretty good. I feel confident with Kenneth Grant.
Boys, the pick is in for me. I agree with Gator. I take Donovan Azaraku, edge rusher from Boston College, for all the reasons Gator stated, plus great fit for Detroit. Let's work our way quickly through the second round and see who we add to it. Other names that are off the board as we move towards the pick at 60. Shamar Stewart, edge rusher, Texas A&M, goes to the Commanders. You got back-to-back quarterbacks to open up round two. Tyler Shuck goes to Cleveland at 33. Jalen Milroe goes to the Giants at 34. Oluwafemi Oladejo, edge rusher, outside linebacker, UCLA, goes to Tennessee at 35. Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Ole Miss, goes to the Bears at 39. Ezra Thomas, cornerback, Florida State, goes to New Orleans at 40. Jordan Savaanee, the guard from Arizona, goes to the Colts at 45. And a couple more here. JT Tuumalau, edge rusher, Ohio State, goes to the Bengals at 49. Nick Scorton, edge rusher, Texas A&M, goes to Tampa at 53. At 56, the Bills take defensive tackle Tyleek Williams of Ohio State. Lions are on the clock now at 60. Here is who's on the board. Alfred Collins, defensive tackle, Texas. Landon Jackson, edge rusher, Arkansas. Savion Williams, wide receiver, TCU. Terrence Ferguson, tight end, Oregon. Anthony Bolton, interior offensive lineman, NC State. We're short on time. Gator is the pick in.
No.
Okay. Kang is the pick in. I'll go first. With the 60th pick, the Detroit Lions select Terrence Ferguson, tight end, Oregon. I just think it's going to be a position of need. I think it's a deep tight end class. I don't love Alfred Collins, the best defensive tackle left. So I'm going tight end. Kang?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not in love with Landon Jackson enough to take him there, even though that's probably a bigger position need. I'm going to go Terrence Ferguson as well. I think this may be a little higher for a tight end than most people project, but they also took Laporta when Michael Mayer was supposed to be the better tight end. I think tight end might be a position they're looking to save money on in the future, and they did the same thing with Hockenson. I think they like Laporta more than Hockenson, but at some point you do have to start paying your own guys, and some of those guys you're just not going to be able to afford. So I'm going to go Terrence Ferguson, tight end.
I'm going to go with Anthony Belton, the offensive tackle. He's a big man, 6'6", 330 pounds, but can project to move inside as well. Doesn't have to play left tackle, although that's primarily where he's played throughout his college career. I like getting an offensive lineman in the second round.
There you go. We will get to your picks. Text them over right now at 248-539-9797. What two players did you take in real time? And we'll tell you who the picks were coming up today at 12:08 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.